Okay, councillors, it's now 5:30. I'll declare our meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. And I'll commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal people present here this evening. Thank you. I also need to remind everyone that this meeting's being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. And could I also ask that if you have a mobile phone with you, that you turn it to silent, please. Okay. And we'll now go to apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have apologies from Mr. Bede Spanigal, Mr. Matthew Sykes and Mr. Daniel Walsh.
Thank you. And we have a full house of councillors. Okay. Do we have Major Sander Cockbrown present? We do. Welcome, Major. Major Sander Cockbrown is from the Maxville Salvation Army, and he's going to lead us in prayer on behalf of the Christian Nambucca Valley Christian Ministers Association. Thank you
for that privilege. Let's pray. Now, holy and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful valley in which we live. We ask that you will help us to care for the land and the waterways and to live in harmony with them. May this valley be a place where all people flourish. And I thank you for people who are willing to serve our community and to care for our community. I thank you for interested citizens. I thank you for our councillors. And I thank you for our mayor. And I pray that you'll give each of them discernment, wisdom, and resilience as they make decisions that impact our community. Bless them and be with them. I pray this prayer believing that you are the God who answers our prayers in the name of your Son. Amen.
Thank you, Major. Councillors, we'll go now to the mayoral minute, which is on page 19 of the business paper. And I'll formally move that, but you'll note there's a slight alteration to the wording from what was in your...
Sorry, the TV on. Oh, it's time down.
As I was saying, you'll see that there's a slight change to the wording of recommendation one, and it's only in relation to the report that was made available to the panel members that you would have received a copy of this afternoon. So I'm formally moving that. Do I have a seconder, although a mayoral minute doesn't require one? Thank you, Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Okay, we now go to the confirmation of the minutes from the Ordinary Council meeting of the 16th of November.
Move.
Moved Councillor Trevor Ballengarry, seconded Councillor Wilson. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None, thank you. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Do we have any disclosures of interest?
No, none received, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. There are no notices of motion, so we'll go straight to the public forum. And our first speaker tonight, councillors, is Mr. Chris Humphreys. Mr. Humphreys would like to address council regarding illegal dumping in the state forest and proposed collaboration between council and forestry. Mr. Humphreys, if you'd like to come forward.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. Thank you for allowing me the time to address the meeting. My name is Chris Humphreys and I've lived in this valley my whole life. In the last 10 years, I've seen the devastating decline in the state and health of our state forests due to the lack of proper care from the responsible organisations and illegal dumping. I can remember when the state forests in and around our valley were well looked after and free from rubbish. I find this to be a big problem, not just for the flora and fauna that reside there, but these illegal piles also create safety risks for firefighters such as myself. And most importantly, we need to remember that at one stage, our First Nations people called a lot of these areas home, and they may have strong cultural significance to the Goombagia people. We owe it not just to them, but to ourselves and future generations to ensure that the state forests are well looked after. On the 8th of November, I contacted Council to see if they were able to assist with tip fees in the way of a tip voucher, as I had originally planned to clear these areas myself. On the 16th of November, I received correspondence from Simon Chapman informing me to contact Forestry Corporation because it was their responsibility, which I did on the 24th of November. And he also said that unfortunately Council does not have the ability to offer tipping vouchers or the like, which I can understand from a financial standpoint. However, if there was to be illegal dumping on the side of a road, or even at the gate of the tip itself, you would have to pay for staff to remove that rubbish, involving expenses of the following, however not limited to vehicle maintenance, fuel, wages, and whatever expenses would be involved during the processing procedure at the tip. I was offering to do it at my own cost and was simply asking for the tip fees to be waived or funded so the rubbish could be taken to its right place. If this is not possible, I would like to see collaboration between Council, Forestry Corp New South Wales, any relevant Indigenous groups, and myself if possible, to get the issue of the health of the state forest resolved. I would also like to add that I've also previously removed rubbish, rusty trolleys, and even a mobility scooter from the river that were too big to put in general waste bin. I informed Council of the rubbish I had removed from the river, ready for pickup, and it sat there for weeks. Afterwards, eventuating in some of the things I recovered ending up back in the river. I would have taken it to the tip myself, however, I would have been charged an exorbitant amount simply for cleaning up the environment and our valley. I believe this is ludicrous to make someone pay money to do the right thing, so I believe there should also be a discussion about some sort of incentive program or something similar for people to clean up our valley. In the meantime, these rubbish piles continue to sit there and further pollute our state forest. This simply isn't acceptable. And I believe while collaboration to resolve these issues is going on, the rubbish needs to be removed. I have also included coordinates and photos of these piles so you will be able to locate them easily. Thank you for your time. It was much appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys.
I'll stay there, sorry.
And I'm sure that the ladies, when you booked, explained that the council, in a public forum, the council can't actually make a decision or a resolution because the matter hasn't been advertised and there may well be others with an interest. But what we can do is call for a report. And I'll go to see whether anyone has any questions in a moment. But given that you've given us the notes and there's a number of sort of questions you ask and matters that you've raised, the one thing we can do is call for a report. So, councillors, I'll move that council receive a report. Addressing both the concerns and the suggestions made in Mr. Humphrey's presentation to council. If I can get a seconder. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Councillors, I think there are some options there for us. I think it's certainly in council's interest to understand the difficulty of providing vouchers for someone to go to the tip, because it's hard to work out whether the material that is being tipped free of charge when everyone else has to pay is from a person's own private property or whether they have. But especially the forestry stuff, I sort of think perhaps forestry might be prepared to pay a fee to council on a regular basis if we've got volunteers to do the clean-up. But forestry, I mean, essentially you're doing what is forestry's responsibility. But that's a separate issue to the matter, as you indicated, of roadside rubbish. But there might be some options that we could consider, whether it being at a local level and with forestry. So, and when that report comes back to council, we would notify Mr. Humphreys? Yes. In which case you'd get the chance to read the report prior to the meeting, and you can then come back and address council again, if necessary, if you want to speak to it. Okay. Yes. Councillors, did anyone have any specific questions of Mr. Humphreys? I won't put the motion yet.
Roughly the area that this rubbish is identified?
So, like, where is it?
Yeah.
So, one of the spots is down in Highland Park along Beryl's Road. There's a fishing spot there. There's a lot of rubbish there. And also on, I believe it is Tallowood Creek Road, as you come across the highway at Old Coast Road.
Yeah.
It's all up through there as well.
I know where you're at.
And, I'm sorry, sir, I can't take comment from the public gallery. However, if there's anyone in the public gallery that has something they want to add or whatever, you're welcome to email the general manager or ring the general manager. It's just... And only speakers who have booked to speak can address council at a council meeting. I know that's an issue for people, but I don't write the legislation, so I'm sorry. Do any councillors have any further questions for Mr. Humphreys? None? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Councillors, is there any further discussion on the motion? Councillor Genvey.
It's just so heartwarming when we do get people like Chris come in from our community who are really committed to, making sure we have a pristine environment. You know, we do have people picking up rubbish on the highway and for koalas, and a guy stand up paddling, picking rubbish out of the river, and now a volunteer helping to clean some of the forest. So I commend the recommendation, the motion, and... look forward to seeing what suggestions can be come up with to make this a working, viable thing. So,
thank you, Councillor Genvey. It would be even more heartwarming if the grubs didn't dump it there in the first place, but I'm probably a little old-fashioned with that point of view. Some people seem to think they have the right to do that sort of thing and that someone else should clean it up and pay for it. And
Madam
anyway,
Mayor,
Council?
At the risk of asking you a Dorothy Dixer, what's the state government EPA charge on our tipping fees? And I just wonder where that goes.
It's now up to about, I believe it's just gone up, and I think it's now close to $100 a tonne. It was, you're talking about the waste levy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was $84 a tonne that we pay as essentially a fee that we get no service for, that goes to the state government. For every tonne of material that is placed in landfill, since it was implemented, it started off at about $25 a tonne. As I said, it's now nearly $100 a tonne. It has netted the state government over $4 billion, and yet less than one third of that goes back into either recycling or research into methods of recycling or education in terms of waste prevention and so forth. The rest of it just goes into the general coffers. And frankly, they call it the waste levy. As far as I'm concerned, it's a tax because there's not a service provided. And yes, that would be something that may be an option that will be canvassed in the report that comes back to council. Or, Councillor Jones, you might want
well,
to...
Maybe as part of the report, the staff are here. I'm sure they will have heard that we could maybe even make representations to the EPA about this very
issue. That could be one of the recommendations that the council...
Asking for a waiver for people like Chris who were prepared to do such, you know, work.
Well, I'd go one step further. That would only waive the waste levy. I'd go one step further and say that they should be donating back to council the fees for anyone who's been doing a clean-up for the full cost.
I think it's a good opportunity maybe to do that. And also, I mean, a lot of the reason why there is waste in the forest is because people, it's an economic question. The price is such now that people literally, the people drive to the tip and then go around the corner. I know the area Mr. Humphries is referring to up just before you go over the bridge over the highway, and it's just appalling.
Yeah, but the trouble is the more illegal dumping is, the more expensive it gets to run a waste facility. All right, councillors, if there's no other discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Our next speaker is Mr. Bob Mackay. Mr. Mackay would like to address council regarding traffic and access to Barrowville Preschool and the Barrowville Hub. And I believe Katie is going to read out some notes on behalf of Mr. Mackay.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. Thank you for allowing this time for me to speak. If I may, I'd like to read these notes on behalf of my father, Robert Mackay, of the South Arm Group, and any questions, Robert will try and address them afterwards. Thank you. I would like to bring to your attention the access road to the new Barrowville Recreation Club. Access to a new building site is normally put in place before it proceeds. At this stage, the access road is supposedly to go past the preschool and children's playground, which is situated in Coronation Lane, which is a one-lane narrow access. Council have already put a fixed steel border on the curb entering the preschool entrance door, anticipating it could be quite dangerous given the increase in traffic now and in the future if it were to remain the access road to the new club. However, there are three alternatives. Southern and northern sides of the old rec club are short-term accesses which are being used to access the new club and car park, and another running from Barrowville RSL Club down to Old Council Depot and across directly to the netball football oval, and this would give access to the new recreation club and sporting fields and be away from the children's area. The issue with this access is the golfers are not happy about hitting across the access road. These alternative routes have not been investigated properly. By closing Coronation Lane from through traffic, it will greatly enhance the safety of the children's area. It would be appreciated if council could consider these matters. The South Arm Group would be happy to discuss further. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And I've just checked with Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams is our Acting Director of Engineering Services, and at the moment he's not in a position to respond to this. But Mr. Mackay, seeing as you've given us this in writing and you've also given us your contact number,
yes,
would you be happy for Mr. Williams to look at it in more detail?
Yes, I would.
And then get back to you with any questions he might... If he needs clarification as to exactly what you mean, are you happy for that to occur?
Yes.
Your request was that the council consider these matters and these ideas, so
yes.
Mr. Williams will do that. Yes. And I'll just check whether any councillors have any questions for you. None?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to add, they've taken my grandchildren there and to play in the park. And my kids have gone to the preschool, of course, in the past. And I've seen hoons come there and drive up and down that road there. And it's only a one-lane road. And, the matter is really, I feel, a safety matter. And it's quite important to the preschool and the kids' playground, because it is a narrow road at this point in time. Understanding it could be made wider, but even if they do, it still will be a hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel there is room to negotiate all around, and that's what we'll do if we can, sir. Thank you very much for listening to us and receiving our letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mackay. councillors, our final speaker in the public forum this evening is Ms. Georgette Allen. And Georgette would like to address council or provide us with some information as to the status of a mining exploration licence over parts of the Nambucca Valley. Georgia, would you like to come forward and address council?
Good evening, Mayor Hogan and Ms. Hudson, our acting general manager, staff and councillors and the general community members. This evening I speak on behalf of the community-based organisation Lock the Nambucca Valley, LNV. I shall provide an overview of events in our valley commencing 25 September this year, when a property owner was left an access agreement form stuck in the fence post, allowing 28 days for that property owner to respond to the mining company, Summit Minerals. LNV was approached for help. For some background, LNV was set up in 2012 and has been successful on three occasions when mining exploration leases have been issued over parts of our valley, Valla Rural, Taylor's Arm, and areas including Toowinga. Each time, LNV galvanised the whole community, farmers, oyster growers, environmentalists and small business owners, to say a loud and clear no to mining in our valley. Each time, those three mining companies withdrew their exploration licences, which have since been revoked or abandoned. This time around, the exploration licence EL, that's exploration licence 9235, covers areas of South Arm, Taylor's Arm, Upper Buckrabendini and extends south to the Maclay Valley. LNV went into action. We used social media, posters in all our towns, storefront displays, ordered new supplies of the famous yellow triangle signs. They're now for sale through commercial outlets in each town and village. And we letterbox dropped flyers to everyone with a letterbox in the areas covered by the EL, by this EL. On 14 November, LNV hosted a public meeting at Maxville. The meeting was attended by some 150 people. Many had received access agreement forms. People expressed their fears and concerns about mining on their or nearby properties. Also present were two community liaison officers from community engagement, contracted by the mining company to supposedly inform the community of the company's intentions. Sadly, those reps were very underinformed of the company's intentions and were not able to answer the serious questions posed. They undertook to report the questions back to Summit Minerals. A transcript of the meeting was provided to those representatives concurrent with their undertaking to forward their report to LNV prior to sending it on to Summit. LNV presented a position statement to that meeting, which was unanimously agreed to by the meeting attendees. We've slightly amended it. Our LNV's current position statement reads, Lock the Nambucca Valley is opposed to any mining exploration or mining activities in the Nambucca Valley. LNV aims to protect its valley from the threat of degradation of its water systems, impacts on local biodiversity, agricultural land and social amenity that mining poses. LNV also recognises the threat to Aboriginal cultural heritage posed by mining activities and commits to assisting and supporting traditional custodians in their efforts to protect their heritage. LNV will stand firm with any property owners who do not want mining exploration activities on their land. That is our position statement. On 28 November, LNV hosted a workshop run by the Environmental Defenders Office, the EDO. The workshop outlined a person's legal rights relating to mining activities, a highly informative workshop. That information is freely available as a public document, as it is information, not actual legal advice. If anybody wants it, we can give the website. Or just look up Environmental Defenders Office. In the evening of 28 November, one liaison consultant contacted LNV and advised that Summit Minerals were ceasing activities in the tenement of EL 9235. This is evidence of how our community can exercise our right and ability to effectively say no to mining when we choose to do so. The information of Summit Minerals' decision is available on the ASX website. The announcement is made within coverage of Windfall, part of Summit Minerals' mining portfolio, which is vast. The report states that Summit is keen to sell this EL on. Summit's withdrawal from EL 9235 is merely a reprieve for LNV. Mining companies trade licences, like a virtual stock market of licences. This could continue with our community remaining under threat of mining until at least July 2028, when EL 9235 expires. LNV intends to seek to have this EL cancelled. This has happened before, and we hope to succeed in this again. My concern for you, our council, is that mining can impact on all of us. Damage to our roads and minor bridges from trucks and heavy equipment, impact on social amenity, Indigenous heritage sites and history, impacts on our valuable oyster growing industry through degradation of our waterways and excess usage of water reserves and loss of valuable farming land. All these impacts can result in extra cost burdens on our council. We share concerns about how our local government is conducted. LNV wants council to know we are here for the long run. We will continue to oppose mining in our valley and we will work with council towards this end. Thank you.
Thank you, Georgette.
There's the report that came through the Essex. Yeah.
Essex.
Which Jody kindly printed up for me. Again, anybody wants any information, ask us. Thank you.
Do all of the councillors have a copy?
Thank you very much for letting me speak at late notice. Thanks.
That's all right. Thank you, Georgie. And we'll circulate a copy of that document to all councillors.
Can I just ask, was there mention in the process that someone might have been trying to drill on roadsides? Or?
There was some confusion, David. Okay. A man up at Taylor's Arm near Thumb Creek, this is fourth hand to me, he told another man from Taylor's Arm, who's a member of LNV, that he had seen a ute up near Thumb Creek with a man who'd got a core sample from the side of the road, because at this stage, as far as we know, nobody has given access to the mining, and the representatives assured us when we asked directly, no activity had commenced. Then we heard this and thought, wow, what is this? We were going to ask you, have you been approached by the mining? What's going on? They're mining on your land, our public land. Then we learned somebody spoke to Bede, new and our senior engineer, and he explained how council, under his watch now, are doing surveys of all the level of the tar, the level of the gravel, and so from here on in, the intention is, I understand, that roads will be repaired according to need based on science rather than maybe according to the budget or the timing or who squawks the loudest about their bad road. So I was delighted to learn that. So thank you for your question, David, Councillor Jones. And thank you, via you, Rhonda, Mayor Hoban, to this new acting GM. And I'm just overjoyed about that news.
Yeah. That first item of business that the council dealt with, the mayoral minute at the beginning of the meeting, was to appoint Bede, as you put it, Mr. Spanagel. He has just gone from being our Director of Engineering Services to the council's General Manager.
Oh, well, well done him. As long as he still has power over engineering, won't he? Because he's doing great stuff.
General managers generally have the power over the entire operational side of the operational side of council, which is another thing that people find difficult to understand at times. Mm. Councillor's role under the Local Government Act, we can only put our fingers on and interfere in strategy and policy, the day-to-day operations, staffing matters, employing or dismissing staff, and working out workloads and priorities. Mm. That's the realm of the general manager. Mm. So, yes, Mr. Spanagel, we have just formally appointed him, and he's actually on leave at the moment because he's busy moving house, which is why he's not here tonight to be congratulated. Mm.
Let him have a but breath before he hits the road.
Well, I think most people in our community would agree that given the state of our roads and some of the capital works projects that we have, having a general manager with an engineering background is probably quite timely at the moment.
It's fantastic. And for me, it's a great example of how things can get reported, and then we had to be very careful. We wanted to get back to that first man who said that rather than rely on the man he spoke to and then the member who spoke to and fourth hand. And that we only found out last night that the person had spoken to the GM.
Yes,
so thank you so much, because Chinese whispers can be very dangerous and inflammatory.
Yes, tell us about
Thank you.
It.
Yes, that's good.
I learned the other day that I'm leasing land to blueberry growers. I wish I did own their land. You know, I'd be able to sell it and make. Yes, but it's amazing the rubbish that people will spread, and unfortunately, some people seem to elaborate a little bit more each time they spread it. So before you know it, anyway. Yes. Councillors, that's it for our public forums, I think. I haven't missed anyone, have I? No? So we will now go to page 21, item 10.1, because there are no questions for closed meeting.
I'll move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Councillor Vance.
Item number 5, with the public toilets on River Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's no design, but we have a quotation for our electrical. So normally you would have a design and then do your electrical quote.
There'll be a question through the general manager for Mr. Williams, I believe.
Through the general manager, I think they're trying to get an idea of what the cost would be to actually relocate the toilets. So doing that groundwork first gives us an idea of the actual cost. We're not that far advanced with this project, but now we're getting some solid information on what we can do. We'll go further with either relocating it or put it in its existing position, which might be the case. But that's an ongoing project, so
yeah.
We'll keep you updated.
Okay, thank you. Any other queries on this item or any other discussion? None? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 36, item 10.2. Councillors, I'm going to move that this item be deferred. Get a seconder?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Seconded Councillor Angel. Staff have advised me that there are some matters of process that need to be ironed out before we deal with this any further. So if there's no discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 38, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Councillor Angel.
Yeah, well, you're going to explore the opportunity to get back out into the hall, or is it something we need to talk about security first before we go to these halls with what's going on? I'm not sure who the best person to talk to.
Well, I understand that.
It's a sad situation. I just talked to, you know, Bob the Mackays are well entrenched in South Arm, and I said apart from the lovely food we get at these halls, it's nice to be out there, so it was a real...
Well, I did receive a considerable number of complaints from from Uwangai residents who had local, what they felt were local matters relating to roads and bridges and so forth that they wanted to raise at our Uwangai meeting. And some people sort of expressed disappointment that they thought it was going to be a meeting for them to raise... Mind you, some of the matters, the other issues that were raised were also, in my view, local and concerned people. But They were just disappointed. They felt their meeting had been... So when there are perhaps more issues like that on the agenda, they should be in the council chambers. We've just got to be sure that in... the whole point of going out to the rural halls is to get to hear from local people and what their local concerns are, that we as councillors, because we may not travel out into those areas so often, might not be aware of. And obviously, if you live at Thumb Creek or Burrapine or Missabody, coming into council to a meeting is, especially when they start at 5:30, can be a bit of an issue. So
I think the perfect example of how those hall council meetings was Girralong. Like, that was a beautiful, pure meeting, and therefore, not just for us to have a meeting, but to thank them and to listen to what's going on. Their points brought up there were brilliant. Like, it was a real shame that the flow and effect from that has cost this.
And it was an effective and productive meeting, and people were able to bring things to our attention, and as a result of that, there has been follow-up on a number of those things. But, so we'll have to look at going back out to South Arm, perhaps. We generally try to avoid away meetings in the halls over the absolute heat of summer, because once you open the doors up, the mosquitoes, it's just uncomfortable. And I don't just mean for councillors, that we're precious. I remember after the fires, we had a meeting at Taylor's Arm, and we had probably 80 or 90 people there, and it was just sweltering hot, especially in daylight savings. So we try to keep the away meetings so that they're not in the middle of winter, and they're not... So anyway, the staff will and we'll have to liaise with the committee as well, because there's a fair bit of work that they go to when we go to these halls. The committee's usually put on a supper, which is quite a bit of work, and obviously with Christmas coming, I'm sure they have better things to do than make cakes for us, so we have to also... consider a time that suits the hall committee. They are volunteers.
Yep.
Okay, so if there's no other discussion, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We've got no late reports from the General Manager. Page 39, item 11.1.
I'll move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion?
Can I ask through you, Madam Mayor, the General Manager, if we have a comparison to other sort of councils? Is this sort of normal, the number of complaints? Or is this good or bad? Or?
No, actually, I don't know of any comparison, because we just submit this return to the Ombudsman, I think.
Office of Local Government, and the returns are actually posted. The statistics are posted on the Office of Local Government website.
Are they?
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe I could ask you, Madam Mayor, historically, is this a normal return? That's where I'm going with this.
The last few years, this term of council and the last term of council, they've probably... they're pretty.
I think that we don't get many.
For quite a few years, so we had none. But you generally find that they relate to one or two councillors and their behaviour. We had a bit of a spate there at one stage when one particular councillor, and they seem to be the same. It's usually the same people. But having said that, any code of conduct complaint is not good, and particularly those that actually have some legs, because they go to a review panel and we actually have to pay for that, or the ratepayers pay for that. And if it's a genuine breach, it can become quite expensive to go through all of the proper processes to deal with. So the best thing to do is not breach the code of conduct. Okay, is there any other discussion or questions? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 41, item 11.2. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. page 46, item 11.3. Moved, Councillor Janby. Seconded, yep. Councillor Vance. Any discussion? None? Councillor Janby.
Through the general, acting general manager, please, to acting director, corporate. Satisfactory year's end, financial position, it's nice to see. And the question is, and I think I'm in the right place, but have we changed? It used to have Imperium Markets. Am I in the right? And I've noticed we're getting reports now from a different company.
Are you looking at the quarterly budget review or the?
I think I am.
No, it's
no, I think we've investment. Just completed the investment report. That's where.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I had.
Let me give you an update. That's a quick update.
We changed companies. So
long as you relate it to the budget review, yes.
How have we changed?
Well, if he's a clever chief financial officer, he will point out that one of the reasons that our quarterly budget review position has improved is because of the investments. So that's a sedge way, I believe, to ensure that he's not speaking beyond the item on the agenda.
Thank you, and through the general manager. That's correct. Our investments have increased our investment interest on investments. But in regards to that, we were using Imperial Markets. They have just simply changed their name to Arlo. A name change for the business.
Just a name change. Yep. Okay. I was wondering whether you were unsatisfied or something.
Okay. Yeah. So now, is everyone aware that we're actually on the item on the budget review?
Yeah. I am.
Okay. No other questions or discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 50, item 12.1. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 53, item 12.2. Moved, was it Councillor Angel? Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Councillor Angel.
Is the Ranger on board now? Is he after his injuries or?
Yes, he was here at cyber security training, sitting next to me yesterday, and seemed quite. He's back at work. Yeah. But yeah, he's recovered from.
The injuries.
Well, I'm not sure he's completely recovered, but he's certainly well enough to be back at work.
Welcome back to Fletcher Street. Well, they've got a cake for him or something.
Well, he hasn't lost his sense of humour because there was the fellow doing the presentation was sort of saying that in order to get councillors or council staff to go through and read and do all of the videos and the little educational things, you know, we could offer some incentive and like a prize, you know. And the Ranger said that anyone who completes it all and does it first is going to give them a free cat or dog of their choice. That indicated to me that he was feeling much better. Is there any discussion on this item? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 56, item 13.1. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded, Councillor Janby. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 58, item 13.2. Moved, Councillor Janby. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Yeah. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Now, councillors, there's one item in closed meeting. However, I'm going to move that item be deferred until staff I'm just going to move that it be deferred, if I can get a seconder. Seconded Councillor Jones. There are some matters that staff want to check on before we consider that item. So if there's no further discussion, I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Now that means that we no longer need to go to closed meeting because it was the only item. Therefore, there being no further business, I will thank everyone for their courtesy, their attendance, and declare the meeting closed. And thank all of our acting staff for doing such a good job of acting tonight.
Nice one. Acting is, isn't it?